We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the Sweaters Forever podcast, brought to you by Choctaw Casino and Resort. Welcome to Choctaw Casino and Resort, the ultimate destination for exciting gaming and live entertainment. Here, winning is never far away. I'm Shippy from the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, and all, as always, joining me on the Sweaters Forever podcast is my co-host, Gavin Spittle, the Hockey Hawk. Hawk,
what's
how
up,
are we
buddy?
Doing today?
Yeah, man, I'm doing great. Stick tap to Choctaw for all their support for allowing this podcast to happen, and let's do it, man. Good things happening for your Dallas Stars.
Yeah, they had a really, really successful road trip. All things considered, they didn't end on the note that Stars fans would have liked in a tough 2-1 loss to the San Jose Sharks. But other than that, they went on the West Coast and they cleaned up pretty nicely. They beat the Kings 2-1, the Ducks 3-0, and the Sharks 2-1. Lost to the Sharks 2-1. I'm sorry. What were some of your biggest takeaways from that road trip, if any? What did you see from the club while they were out there?
I thought that they had to get their legs under them against the LA Kings. Took them a while to get going because they were coming off kind of a short break.
Yeah.
So after that first period, I thought they played really, you know, a much better brand of hockey. They were more aggressive. You know, for as bad as the Kings are in the standings, they have a lot of talent, you know, one of which is Anze Kopitar, which I think is one of the better defensive and offensive forwards in the league.
And they got Jonathan Quick in net.
They got Jonathan Quick in net. They have Drew Doughty, who I still think is one of the better defensemen. You know, you look at that stat, TOI, time on ice, and he's among the league leaders every single year. So I think he's a terrific player still. And so I think they have a lot of talent. And I think the Stars, after that slow first period, you know, they held him off early and were able to come back and win. One of the things I like about Rick Bowness's system is that, you know, we saw a lot of coaches, and if it just wasn't happening one night, they'd quickly shift lines.
Yeah.
With the philosophy of these guys practice together all the time, it's not a question of getting to know each other. Every player knows each other.
Right.
Well, Bonus is kind of going old school, and I absolutely love
it. He's keeping it together.
He's keeping it. I love that the two lines are staying as the top two lines.
Yeah.
Where you're telling the first line of Ben, Sagan, Radulov, okay, we're not going to separate you guys. You guys need to be our top line. But are they, in fact, the top line? Because then you look at that second line, and if I'm an opposing team and my best defenseman, obviously, most likely, I'm going to put them against that first line. But if I'm doing advanced scouting, I have to look at that second line with Hintz, Pavelski, and Gurionov.
Right.
Because that seems to be the line that's producing the most opportunities.
Yeah.
So I think the Stars have something that they haven't had in a while, and that's a lot of depth. I think the defensemen are playing better. I think fast-forwarding after that to Anaheim the next night, I thought that would be the night that you have tired legs. The good news is I think the boys were in bed by midnight from the LA Kings game because it's Anaheim. It's right around the corner.
Right, right.
So that's an easy back-to-back or an easier-than-usual back-to-back.
Sure.
So they play Anaheim the next night, and I thought it was one of their best overall games.
Yeah, I agree.
Even though it wasn't a blowout, I thought it was a complete game, start to finish. I never felt as though Anaheim got in the flow. Kudos to Stars fans. There were a lot of Stars fans in attendance, you know, because you could hear them at the Honda Center when there was a goal by the Stars. So I just thought that was a game that they controlled from start to finish, and that has been one of the drawbacks of this Stars team. They inevitably end up like losing one period and then come back in a second or third period.
And it's usually those earlier periods that they're losing, specifically the first.
Yeah.
You know, they get down and then it's like, oh crap, we're going to have to do this again. But for a lot of it, they've been making the comeback, completing the comeback. You'd just like to see them get out to a better start.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on that third night, I just think it was a fluke night. I mean, I just, you know, they didn't play their best game. Miro Heiskanen was saying that. They got to get the better legs underneath them. They just weren't skating as fast and as hard. You know, that's not an effort thing. It's just these games happen. You got a lucky break off of Brett Burns' skate to start the scoring.
Right.
You just couldn't get anything going offensively, and you lost the game 2-1. Now, all three games, the goaltending's been outstanding.
Yeah.
And that just seems to be the consistent narrative throughout this NHL season for your Dallas Stars is I think it's probably the best 1-2 tandem in the league right now. Mm-hmm. And it just does not seem to, you know, falter in any way. I'm real intrigued the way Rick Bowness is playing the goaltender, starting Khudobin on the road trip and then coming back with him on San Jose. So it seems as though for a couple of reasons. One, you have a hot backup in Khudobin. Mm-hmm. And then the second reason, I think you're trying to keep Ben Bishop as fresh as possible.
Right.
And the age of goalies playing 70 out of a possible 82 or over, it's kind of like the NFL where you need two quality running backs.
Right.
So, I mean, I think, you know, it looks really good. You do have a tough game against Colorado before facing another. You know, the problem with Thursday at home against Buffalo is you're coming off a big road trip. Mm-hmm. And the Buffalo Sabres, to me, are one of those matchups that do not favor the Stars. They've struggled against Buffalo. Jack Eichel's a great player. I think he's completely underrated because he plays in Buffalo. You know, he's not Connor McDavid status, but close to Connor McDavid status. So you have a couple tough tilts ahead of you.
Yeah, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that Avalanche game tomorrow because that's, I mean, there's still the Pepsi Center. I mean, that just seems like it's always been a really tough place for the Stars to play and really any team to go in and play, especially with this brand of hockey that the Avalanche play. It's very fast-paced, up and down the ice. It's a young, exciting team. And then you factor in the altitude still gets to players. You know, in Colorado, I'm a little bit concerned about this game, even though we do have, like you just said, the Stars have probably the best goalie tandem in the league. How do you feel about that matchup against the Avalanche tomorrow night?
I think it's a completely different, you know, the Stars went in to Colorado earlier this year and took one, but that was a beat up Colorado team. Now they're healthy. You know, Cale Makar's back. You know, you got the big threesome, one of the best lines in hockey, featuring Nathan MacKinnon, who is making a big statement as the league's MVP this year.
Did you see the TMZ video?
I did.
TMZ approached him. He said, "I'm not famous enough for TMZ, bro."
It was great. It was great.
Such a great line. One of the like top five easily hockey players in the NHL is like, "I'm not famous enough for this."
Yeah. You know, I think that's the way he wants to be. So I think it's a tough matchup for them tomorrow night and an important matchup. Colorado's right behind you in the standings. And, you know, it's not too early to look at the standings because we've talked about this on this podcast.
Yeah.
Is that the Pacific Division, unlike other years, is that good this year? Probably competing for one of the better divisions in the hockey, and it shuffles each week. So now you have the Calgary Flames in front. So if you look at the wild card as it stands today, it's two Pacific Division teams.
Yeah.
So they're going to beat each other up. But that said, you know, you need to get in the top three if you're the Stars. And I think that's one of the things you have to keep an eye on. So it's going to be a tough matchup tomorrow night. I would love to see a rebound game. I like seeing, even if they lose the game, I want to see the Stars come out. I want to see them hit. I want to see them be physical. I want to see them counter that big Nathan MacKinnon line with the third line and, you know, Radek Foxa, Cogliano, guys like that, creating some issues and shutting that line down. I want to see a big night in net. I'm assuming it's going to be Bishop. And, you know, that would be good. And then finally, you know, you do get some, you get some home games. But overall, it's been a successful road trip. It would have been nice to get to San Jose, so at least you came back, you know, on the winning end.
Now, I want to go back to the Ducks game real quick, just because it seems like, I mean, would you call that Denis Kurianov's? I mean, I feel like we've said this earlier, but that was impressive. The goal that he scored, and then the almost goal that he scored, which was a great save.
Yeah.
I was super impressed that, you know, because I knew he's a skilled player, but that between the legs attempt, I was just not expecting that.
Well, I think the biggest thing about that play was that he had to do that. It wasn't I'm showing off.
Right.
You know, basically he could not shoot that puck otherwise.
Right.
So amazing skill set. Yeah, I actually thought that was more impressive than the actual goal, which was a one-timer.
I did too.
And the good thing about the one-timer was the accuracy and the quickness that he got it off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely think you and I have been on the Denis Gurianov bandwagon early, yes. Even when he was sent down. We thought he should have stayed up. I just think the future is so bright for this kid. And, you know, he's playing better defensive hockey. You're not seeing him out of place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's back on the play. I think he's really good in the corners at times. He's fighting for the puck. He's not losing his defensive assignments. So I think the Stars got a good one. It'll be interesting because both him and Roope Hintz are restricted free agents after this year. So they are kind of playing for that next contract.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is definitely some incentive, but, you know, who would have thought to start the year that it would be Gurianov and Hintz leading kind of the offensive charge for the Stars?
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting stuff, especially as Stars fans moving forward, assuming that they get that restricted free agent contract done.
Yeah.
You know, and the team is a big jerk and steps in and tries to ruin it for all of us Dallas Stars fans.
Well, I think, you know, the NHL has their slots, and that's a good thing. Now, more and more you are seeing restricted free agents hold out for bigger money, and you are seeing that occasional offer come in now that the NHL had a gentleman's behind the table agreement that you didn't offer a contract to a player that was protected by another team. That's no longer the case. So, you know, we're going to see an interesting situation where how much does Gurianov get paid? I'm more concerned with the Hintz, because Hintz has had, you know, Hintz kind of was big in the playoffs last year, then started off the year so hot. So I think he's probably going to ask for more than Gurianov is. So the Stars have some tough decisions to make because they're up against the cap right now, and they have some big contracts that, you know, they have Pavelski under contract, Radulov, Ben, and Sagan. That's a lot of money tied up for just four guys. So some interesting questions. I mean, that's down the line. I mean,
right.
Heck, win the cup, and then we'll decide.
Yeah, then we'll worry about it. Yeah. Now, also on this road trip, we had two players that, for the first time ever in their NHL career, left their respective franchise, and they both came into the Dallas Stars. And Corey Perry and Joe Pavelski, both of them saw their former teams. And I thought it was really cool, the ovation that they got. Even Corey Perry, who wasn't able to suit up because he's serving his suspension, which honestly, to me, I feel like is the most Corey Perry way ever to return to his former team.
It really is, yeah.
Is to be out of the lineup because he got suspended for something. But the Anaheim Ducks, they showed him, you know, all suited up, not in hockey, you know, in hockey sweater, but in a nice suit. And the Anaheim Ducks fan base and the San Jose Sharks fan base both gave both those guys what I thought was a very, very nice, you know, welcome home type of return for each of those guys.
I know the Stars, a lot of Stars fans weren't happy with the Corey Perry signing.
They still aren't.
They still aren't, yeah. And they were really mad at the Winter Classic, and I get that. Never should have signed Corey Perry. But I think when you look at that ovation and the way that his former teammates treated him, he was beloved in Anaheim.
Absolutely.
If you're not a good locker room guy, I don't think that's happening.
Right.
I mean, you might have a nice, solid video tribute or something, but that standing ovation just shows what Corey Perry meant to the game of hockey in that area. The fan base still loves him. And, you know, he was your guy. He was that guy, you know, similar to kind of the way that Stars fans, much smaller sample size, but still revere Antoine Roussel.
Or Steve Ott.
Absolutely. Steve Ott's a great example.
Two of those guys were some of the, like, fan favorites.
Yeah.
I mean, they would go crazy. If Roussel would score a goal or just have the puck, and you hear Roos, and then Ott, if, you know, he scored, you know, everything went crazy. And people were cheering for the Blues last season because Steve Ott was on the coaching staff and all. I want Steve Ott to get a Stanley Cup. And I understand and I respect that, and I share a lot of those sentiments, but I feel like it's weird. I mean, and I understand because Corey Perry didn't start here, and you had so many intense playoff matchups and regular season matchups, and Jamie Benn and Corey Perry, John back and forth going at it. I understand where a lot of that hatred comes from, but he's a winning piece on this team. And so
absolutely.
I love winning more than anything.
Yeah.
So it's real easy. As soon as they signed him, I was like, oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that's great. I used to hate this guy, but hey, he's wearing victory green now. badass. Like,
especially when it's a 1 year deal. It's not a lot of money.
1 year deal.
You know?
Yeah.
It just was, it was a good deal.
Low risk, high reward signing.
Right. And I don't think it's a coincidence that when Corey Perry entered this Stars lineup, they turned the season around.
Yeah.
I think he had an immediate impact. His calmness with the puck, his control in space. You know, he's just one of those wily veterans. And it was kind of disappointing to see the Winter Classic. I know everyone was amped up, but we hadn't seen that from Corey Perry.
Yeah.
You know, everything had settled down nicely. It scored some nice goals. You know, it wasn't that dirty Corey Perry. So,
and you can't tell me that environment didn't kind of have him amped up to do that, you know, the big hit on Ryan Ellis and try to, you know, really get the home crowd going, you know?
Well, I was watching the Winter Classic, the NHL.
The Road to Winter
Classic over the weekend. I love it because it's mic'd up. And Tyler Seguin gets called for the penalty and is screaming at the refs like, I am never checking anyone again.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, that's how amped up they were, because you don't see Tyler Seguin throwing checks.
Right. And that was one of the things, like, I've heard him talk about that in the past, like, not in like a public setting, but just like, hey, like, why don't you hit more? He's like, dude, that's not me. That's not my game. I'm here to score goals.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'll let Jamie Benn and I'll let those guys throw the body around, you know?
Yeah.
But I remember exactly what hit you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because I saw it and I was like, I remember talking to, you know, my buddy and the Tolos that were around us, and I turned, I said, did Seguin just throw a hit out there? I'm like, I've like rarely ever seen him do that.
Yeah, so it was an amped up, and you know, it's an unfortunate situation, and Perry deserved the 5-game suspension, but
yeah,
really, really nice tribute from Anaheim and the fans. And then we move. It's just so weird that it happens on consecutive
back-to-back games. Yeah.
So then San Jose comes and it's the Joe Pavelski show, and what an awesome job. I mean, I went to see the Stars play a couple years ago in the Shark Tank, and that is just a special building.
I want to go there so bad just to see him skate out of that big shark.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen it on TV, and I just want to witness that in person. Like, I want to be sitting diagonally across on the ice from that shark and just watch these guys go out.
Well, get there a couple minutes early because they blow it up, and it blows up real quick. You know, it's just really interesting.
I always wonder that too. Did it drop from the ceiling? Nah, is there a shark indention in the top of the
man? Big fans in there, and bam!
Yeah.
You know, there it is. But it's also kind of like fascinating the way the arena is structured in San Jose. You have downtown San Jose, which is a really kind of cool vibe downtown. But everyone walks to the game, so like. I walked from my hotel to the game, and, you know, you start off and, you know, you're with a couple of people, and by like a quarter mile, all of a sudden you look around and you're surrounded by hundreds of Sharks fans, and then another 100 yards, hundreds more. And hundreds. So you're walking and all of a sudden there are thousands of people walking.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a real cool vibe. And say what anyone will, I mean, there's the original six, and people know their hockey in these original six, but there are also those underrateds like St. Louis.
Yeah, Nashville.
They know their hockey. Nashville, they know their hockey. Tampa, rabid hockey fans in Tampa. And then there's the San Jose Sharks. The tradition of winning in San Jose is impressive. They know what Joe Pavelski brought to the table.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe Pavelski wasn't one of those top draft picks that came in. He was a young kid from University of Wisconsin who came in and just took everyone by storm, had some big goals for them, and, you know, was the captain of that team. And when he went down against Vegas, it was amazing his teammates, like how they rallied around. We're doing it for Joe. This is all about Joe. And remember, Joe, when he wasn't playing, walked out. And the crowd saw him, and they just went crazy.
I lost a considerable amount of money on that game after Joe Pavelski was injured. And I stand to this day, that was not a major.
No.
It was not a major, and I mean, I'm happy for him now, but I told myself at the time I'd never forgive him, and then he signed with the Stars, and I was like, all right, well, if you win a cup here, then I'll go ahead and forgive you for that one. But,
so it was an amazing tribute. He had water in his eyes, rightfully so.
Yeah.
Great to see that his family was there, as well as was Corey Perry's for the Anaheim tribute. So just I think he wanted the result to be better, but I don't think you could have a better night. The only thing that... Boy, if he just didn't have that cap hit,
Right.
I'm just looking at the next 3 years and I'm like, okay, I love him as a teammate, Shippy.
Yeah.
I love what he brings to the ice. I hate the cap hit.
Right.
I just feel as though that might come back to haunt us. And I hate talking like salary and player because, you know, he just brings a lot in the room and everything like that. You know, he came to Dallas because he really feels as though this is a championship contender. You know, but when you have the Gurionovs, the Hintzes, the guys coming up, you know, you need to make space for.
Yeah.
Boy, that's going to be interesting because he hasn't been the Joe Pavelski of years past. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he gets going. I think he's going to have a good year. I think the expectation is when you get paid $7 million a year, you need to have a great year.
Yeah. No, I think it's a fair expectation.
Yeah.
And like you're just saying, pairing the player and the salary, that's one of the unfortunate things about any athlete in any sport is that the fans have access to how much they're getting paid.
Yeah.
And it's public knowledge. So you don't sit there and say, oh, yeah, he's doing great. He's a room guy. You're sitting there going, just like you were saying, well, he's making seven.
Yeah.
This guy over here is making like one. And he's producing more than he is. He's kind of looking like he's on the decline of his career. You know, like, you start factoring in all that stuff. That Jamie Benn has been the victim of that the last ever since he won the Art Ross and he got the big deal. Ever since then, it's been, well, Jamie Benn's getting paid for the work that he put in for the Stars, and now he's not living up to that contract.
Yeah, and you know, that's a great transition, Shippy, because probably since, I don't think it was a Jim Montgomery situation. But I'm seeing a different Jamie Benn.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm seeing a guy that even if he doesn't show up on the score sheet, he's a different player.
He's making an impact.
Yeah.
Throwing the body around or just like, you know, defensively even, I'm seeing a much stronger Jamie Benn, you know? And I totally agree. And I believe it was around that time where they went on the road trip and they went to Vancouver. It was a Canadian swing, and they beat Vancouver in Vancouver. And it was not that game, but the game after that he scored. And I can't remember who it was against, maybe the Flames. But Jamie Benn from that point on, it was the Winnipeg game where he hit Shifley, and then he takes the puck down and he scores.
Right.
After that, like, it's been that type of Jamie Benn all the time. Maybe he doesn't hit him and then go score on every play to give the Stars the lead after just giving up the lead.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's showing that kind of confidence, honestly, on the ice. He looks like a much more confident player.
Yeah, so I also love how he's picking players every game and just focusing on them.
Yeah.
Whether it be Roman Josi of Nashville.
When the Devils were in town, it was PK Subban, as always been.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's just focusing on certain players.
He's kind of adding like a Corey Perry like agitator thing into his game, which he's always had. You know, like when the Blues and the Stars play, whoever's on the Blues and Jamie Benn hate each other. And there's that popular gif or whatever where he's sitting on top of Petrangelo and he just kind of takes his glove and just shoves his face in the ice.
Right.
Like, he's doing that, but now, like you said, every single game he's finding a single guy and just really kind of focusing in on, hey, I'm going to take this guy out of the game mentally and physically.
So he scores the other night with a great pass across the crease from Sagan, and I just loved his reaction.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
Scored. Like, his confidence just seems way up right now. On to the next one. I mean, I think they're playing a real good brand of hockey. And like I said, I really like what Rick Bowness is doing as far as keeping the lines the way they are, keeping the defense pairings the way they are. If there's an injury or something, he has to make those moves. But I give a lot of credit to Rick Bowness. I mean,
yeah, me too.
You know, this is a guy that I have my doubts about even depending on how this year goes. I think they have to make a run, otherwise you need to find a new coach. But at the same time, I just feel as though he's brought a calmness to the room. And, you know, we talk about adversity. Losing your head coach is a huge deal.
Huge.
It's huge. I mean, that rocked the hockey world.
Yeah.
Not the Dallas Stars, but that rocked the hockey world. And so you think of all the press asking the Stars questions and what's on their mind. So, you know, I mean, this Stars team has faced some adversity this year. They had the slow start. Then they had the tornado that hit, which hit Ben Bishop's house and also Tyler Sagan's house for sale.
Yeah.
So you have that adversity of what's going on in the community, and then you lose your head coach.
Right.
So through that all, I mean, kudos to Rick Bowness, and also kudos to their assistant coaches, which have picked up the duties as far as, because Rick Bowness was the defensive specialist, and now he's given that up.
Right.
So, you know, and I think it fires up Rick Bowness. I mean, I think he's like, this is my shot.
Yeah.
This, I'm going to show Ottawa, who passed on me, and others who passed on me, that I deserve a gig in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, and, you know, he's going to, you just alluded to his, you know, how he likes to kind of keep things the same. Well, he's got a move coming up potentially that he would need to make that could shake things up on the back end, as it was reported last Friday that the Texas Stars of the AHL had, I guess, recalled or activated Steven Johns, you know, who has been battling, hasn't played in about 17 months, I believe. Just a really weird thing. You know, he suffered concussions, and then he was suffering from post-traumatic, post-traumatic concussions, I guess, or migraines.
Yeah, so they didn't want to call it concussion-based.
Right.
But at the same time, I just don't know how you can't conclude that that didn't have something to do with it. But basically, it's kind of the, I mean, you know, you don't want to, but I mean, the best way to describe it, I guess, is kind of a vertigo feeling where you know, you don't have the balance that you need, plus a ringing sensation.
Right.
And it comes and it goes. And sometimes it goes, but then it'll just one day pop back. So this is the first time we've seen Steven Johns. We've seen him at practice, and then all of a sudden, a couple of setbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty awesome. And then he goes on the ice for the Texas Stars, and wow, did he look like he was NHL ready.
Yeah.
4 points and a slap shot that hit the top shelf that was just lightning. So, you know, they're going to have to keep him down for conditioning. And then I think when they bring him up, I think they're going to be very cautious about it. And that's going to be an interesting dilemma for Jim Nill and Rick Bowness. What to do with Steven Johns?
I mean, to me, just on the surface level, just right away, assuming that he'll be healthy enough to play and all that, because that's the thing that I worry the most about this. Because right now the team is rolling and, you know, they're playing really good hockey. I want them to err on the side of caution with him and let him keep on playing and make sure, like, hey, like, is he going to be okay? Are these headaches and stuff going to return? Because it was a really scary process that this whole, you know, that he's been through this whole time, where it was real weird. Nobody had any type of answers, but he seems like it would be a way to really ease him in would be to, instead of breaking up, you know, Alexiak and Miro or something like that, is to give him Roman Polak's spot on that on that last defensive pairing.
I think you will see that. And, you know, I guess you want him to come back as soon as possible, but it would be nice if the AHL conditioning assignments allowed you to go down there for a number of games, but you have to come back up. So I agree with you. I think it's going to be Polak or Sekera. Sekera's playing really good hockey right now. And, you know, Polak,
and he got
is
off
as
to
well.
A slow start.
He did. Yeah, absolutely. That might have been adjusting to the team. So, and then what do you do with Fedun? So, you know,
I mean, like Fedun a lot.
I like Fedun as well. I think, you know, he's a guy with NHL proven experience that can come in and play some good offensive hockey. It seems like every time he comes in, he scores a goal.
Yeah. And last time he did that was he found out like 45 minutes before the game that, you know, Klinger wasn't playing that night because of, I believe it was family related, something that he was dealing with that night, you know, and he's like, I was eating dinner with my wife.
Yeah.
Get the phone call. And I barely got there in time for warmups.
Yeah. But. Yeah. So I think it's going to be a tough decision, but I would expect them to do third line defensive pairing and just rotate, you know, Johns with those guys. But I'm with you. I don't move Alexiak. He's playing great hockey. His confidence is high.
And I love the other night he got in that fight. You know, he dropped the gloves. And I tweeted right at the time. I said, I love the post. And we've talked about this on the podcast. The post Penguins version of Jamie Alexiak compared to what he was like before he joined the Penguins for a short stint.
Yeah, that was an old school hockey fight where you had some rib shots.
Yeah.
You know? So you were getting in there. And Anaheim likes to fight.
Yeah.
And I think if Alexiak hadn't dropped the glove, something else would have happened because Anaheim needed to fire themselves up. And Alexiak answered the bell and did a great job. And, you know, that sends a message to Anaheim and the rest of the teams, it's like, don't screw with my young defenseman,
yeah,
because I'm on the ice as well.
And that's what we talked about in terms of kind of what Hatch would do for Zubov.
Yeah.
You know, when they were together, Hatcher would come over and it was like, all right, well, yeah, you can make a run at him if you want, but I'm going to drop whatever I'm doing and I'm going to come find you at that moment and you better be ready to drop the gloves.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, it's essential. Like, I know it could be old school hockey, but the fact remains, it's like, you know, when Dustin Byfuglien was on the ice, it was protecting his line mate.
Yeah.
You know, they're all good players, but right. At the same time, you know, big and small, there's some effective play about that. And you also, yeah, you allow Miro Heiskanen to roam free, which is the best version of Miro Heiskanen. If he needs to even think about staying home at defensively, if he even second guesses himself, that's when there's an issue.
Right.
I also like what Oleksiak's bringing a little bit offensively. You know, he's getting his confidence back.
Yeah.
You know, and he's had some scoring opportunities. And I just think he's a hidden gem on this Stars team. And, you know, good trade by Jim Nill. Very smart move, you know, signing him.
They just
him.
Undid the trade.
Yeah.
Like, it was literally the draft pick that they got for him that they gave right back.
Yeah.
And, like, to me, that's the perfect trade. Just totally undid all that, and you got a better version of Jamie Oleksiak. Who knows what that draft pick's going to turn into?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think it's Steven Johns that goes into that third defensive pairing. When he's ready, you're going to take it slow. I don't think his ice time will be up, but let's talk about what he brings. I mean, the offensive skill set is impressive, and he's one of those guys that, you know, reminds me, not with the skill set necessarily because he's been injured for so long, but he reminds me of a Shea Weber, where he can be a stay-home defenseman, but he's got a great shot from the point.
And you better keep your head on a swivel.
Exactly.
Because he will lay you out.
Yeah.
And so that's you know, the last time he played, that's what he brought to this team that it was so desperately lacking at the time. You know, for a long time, we've been talking about the Stars as a real finesse team. Nobody's really scared of the Stars. You can push them around in the playoffs, this and that. You can't do that, at least when Steven Johns is on the ice.
Yeah, you can't.
He would lead them in hits. He was always blocking shots. I mean, he is like, I would say he's like a hockey player.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, yeah. He's great offensively. He's really underrated, I believe, at moving the puck. And defensively, I think that's where he's his strongest, and his ability to get up and down the ice, but his ability to change the game with, you know, momentum-changing hits. And there were times you'd get caught slipping around the front of the net. Not gonna act like he's a perfect shutdown defenseman, but I think the Shea Weber comparison is a really, really good one. And hopefully, you know, he's able to come back to the Dallas Stars at full capacity, and these headaches and things aren't going to be a lingering issue.
If he can, to me, that is just like a trade at the trade deadline. We're only about 5 to 6 weeks away from the trade deadline. Hard to believe.
And I have a list of some players who might be available here.
I'm excited.
In a second,
we can go
for
through
you.
Them. So the reality is the Stars are right up against the cap. Like, right up against the cap.
Yeah.
So cap flexibility is going to be very tough for the Stars this year.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, and you question, do you want to give some players away in the minors? Who would you give away? If you give away, like, if I'm a team, I'm looking at Jake Ettinger for Texas. But if I'm the Stars, I'm like, that's my future in net. That was a first-round draft pick, netminder.
Hey, if you're going to take this netminder, maybe open up some space for us to keep Hudobin. But you're going to have to take the Janmark contract, maybe. And that's the thing, is I'm trying to think of glaring contracts that are players that would be expendable to the Dallas Stars for a cup run.
So one of the things that's happening is fascinating, is that there are teams with cap space that are now not necessarily saying, hey, we'll trade our players. What they're saying is, we have loads of cap space. We'll take on your cap guy to free up space so you can make a trade, but it's going to cost you dearly.
Yeah, draft picks or
draft
a guy
picks,
like Ettinger, prospects.
A young prospect. Something like that. So that's kind of a fascinating twist that we haven't seen. Anaheim's one of those teams that has cap space. They're not going anywhere, and they're kind of throwing that out there like, hey, we're available. I wouldn't be surprised if the Ottawa Senators are another team that doesn't mind taking on some cap space so they could build for the future. But I look at Johns as kind of a amazing acquisition if he can stay healthy because,
right.
What would, and I think that's the question you have to ask yourself, Stars fans, what would make this team better?
Yeah.
Is it Tyler Toffoli from the LA Kings?
He's on my list.
He has an expiring contract. Right now he's about mid-20s as far as a point guy. He's only 27 years old. He's a big guy coming down the wing. And then the question is, where do you put him? Do you put him at the third line? He's probably not a third line player. He's more like a second line player. So who do you drop down? And it's weird to say that because, I mean, I guess if it's Tyler Toffoli or Gurianov or Rupe Hintz, I probably have to go with Toffoli right now because he's more proven. But I love what the kids are doing, and I don't want to drop him down to a checking line.
And Bonus has said that he was going to keep Hintz and Gurianov together because he likes so much what they do on the same line
absolutely.
And how they complement each other, which is something else that we talked about super early on. You were the one that pointed out, hey, these guys work really well together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it should be interesting. I don't know how I would feel about that because I was just sitting here thinking too, like, what exactly would I want the Dallas Stars to add?
I think a puck-moving defenseman might not hurt, and I think you're getting that with Steven Johns.
All right, well, do you want me to throw another name out there?
Yeah.
Somebody with an expiring contract, a familiar face, not the best offensively, but very solid defensively, can move the puck. Brendan Dillon with the San Jose Sharks is an unrestricted free agent after this season. What would be your interest level in bringing Brendan Dillon back, you know, a la Jamie Oleksiak, who we were just talking about? Who returns to the Dallas Stars after, you know, getting rid of him.
So Brendan Dillon right now is playing kind of a first or second defensive pair role.
Yeah.
So you would have to look. It's not going to be Klingberg, Lindell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think, you know, I have to look if Dillon's a left or right shot and how it compares with Haskinen. But maybe that's it. And then you drop down Oleksiak to pair with Johns if Johns is healthy.
Yeah.
And then you have to figure out the Pollock, Sekera. You know, it's a tough conversation to have because, you know, you're sitting there and you're like, well, I don't know if I want to give this guy. But, I mean, it's not like this. I mean, the Stars are a really, really good team.
Yeah.
But I'm having a hard time figuring out who do I want to drop from this team the way things are going. At the same time, pick someone up. And what am I giving up for an expiring contract with Brendan Dillon?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a second and a third pick. That's probably what I'm looking at. And that might be too rich. Maybe I'm giving up a third round pick.
Yeah. And like you said, the draft picks are so valuable now. You know, like I felt like for a long time that they weren't taken as seriously, especially in the NHL. But those are proving to become super, you know, valuable. You know, in the sport in terms of, you know, building your team and moving forward like that. So,
yeah, I think it has to do with the salary cap. And to give up a first round pick, you're giving up a potential great player.
Right.
That is protected for several years.
Yeah.
And that helps you cap space. The perfect example right now is Miro Heiskanen.
Yeah.
When Miro Heiskanen becomes a restricted free agent or before that, you're talking 6-7 maybe 7.5 a year.
Yeah.
Right now, you know, you're saving $5 to $6 million on Miro Heiskanen. You know, so I think that's where draft picks become valuable because if you can hit on those draft picks, that's your window to win. I mean, related to another sport, we just had the window to win with Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're seeing that he's about to get paid a very large sum.
Yeah. Well, let's see what you think about a couple more defensemen I have here. From the New Jersey Devils, Sammy Vatanen has an expiring contract. That was somebody that, you know, when they came to town, I really focused in on him because he had the weird thing where he was with the Ducks for a while and then left the NHL and came back. I've always kind of enjoyed watching his game, but I wasn't super impressed by what I had saw that night, but it wasn't an impressive night for them, and also they just fired their GM Ray Shero.
Yeah,
after getting rid of their coach right before the Stars played the Jersey Devils here in town.
So first off, Sammy Vatanen, I think he's a good player. I don't think he's a difference maker. You know, I think last year getting Lovejoy from the Devils was more of a better fit because defensively you needed that stay-at-home defense defenseman. I don't think the Stars need a Sammy Vatanen right now. So I would pass on that. I think he's a good player, but probably more useful for another team. The whole New Jersey situation is fascinating.
So weird.
Because it's like you get rid of your best player in Taylor Hall, or, you know, arguably,
right,
you know, one of the league's top players in Taylor Hall, and you get rid of your coach and now you're playing better hockey, but then you still fire your GM.
Right.
The guy that you fired because you were so bad immediately gets picked up by Nashville, who fires a coach who has a top, you know, I think he's one of the top six in the NHL as far as wins the last few years in Peter Laviolette. So it just, you know, the whole situation just didn't make sense to me. Like, but, you know, at the same time, I mean, we'll see how it pans out. But New Jersey making wholesale changes. I think if they had the choice, they'd probably dump Subban. But I think that contract is probably too rich for anyone to take on, especially this point in the season.
Yeah. And I wonder if that maybe is what they fired the GM for. Was it maybe the PK soup? I mean, it's tough to fire him for that because he was the most coveted free agent on the market.
Yeah.
But if you look at the way it's turned out for them, I mean, is giving a big name player like that a giant contract and him underperforming so terribly the GM's responsibility or the head coach, or are they just firing everybody?
Right, right, absolutely.
And I guess that's probably what the question they're asking themselves, and maybe why they want to try to wipe the slate clean and, you know, just go a different direction.
I think the toughest thing as well for New Jersey that people have to think about is you're competing in a land that the Rangers are a major, major factor. Like hockey, New York, you think of Rangers. Oh, yeah, there are the Islanders that are playing really good hockey, and then there's the Devils.
Yeah.
So I think that's, and, you know, if you're the Devils, you're competing against the Philadelphia Flyers, who aren't too far away.
Right.
And they're playing great hockey, too. So, you know, I think, you know, they're competing for audience right now. And because of that, you know, their expectations are probably higher. I still go back to why they let go of Lou Lamoriello years ago. It didn't make sense. I've always coveted Lou Lamoriello as a GM. He went to Toronto and rebuilt. Toronto was awful. And just in a few years, he rebuilt that franchise. Then he moves to the New York Islanders. And look what, you know, him and Barry Trotz are doing. So, you know, it's kind of fascinating. But speaking of New Jersey, I don't think the Devils will do it. But if I'm the Stars, one guy I am interested in is Blake Coleman. Get the Plano native back here.
Yeah.
I think then all of a sudden you're talking about you can move people down. Because to me, Blake Coleman brings so much to the table. He's one of those guys that I refer to as heavy. And like he likes to push people around. He's not one of those like huge guys, but he just looks big on the ice.
Right.
He's got a nice scoring touch. He's young. He's from this area. It's always special when he plays around here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the Devils are crazy if they give him up.
I don't think they would.
We give up a young, controllable player? Who are you giving us? To me, he's probably the most valuable asset on New Jersey right now.
I totally agree. And, like, he's the one silver lining for that club, you know, for the entire season.
Oh, yeah.
And the only thing, like, so fans would just absolutely lose their mind unless it was some crazy return. But I don't know what type of return the Stars would give that would be more exciting to Devils fans than having Blake Coleman.
Yeah, you'd have to give up a bunch. It would probably be a combination of draft picks and maybe a prospect. I'm just looking at Blake Coleman's contract right now. 1.8 this year, 1.8 million next year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a cheap date for the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah. We'll stay with the Devils real quick. I just want to get your thoughts on this. This is a guy that we talked about on free agency as potentially being a guy that the Stars, you'd like to see him acquire when the Nashville Predators acquired him last season. You know, I remember you were very, why couldn't we got Wayne Simmonds?
Yeah.
Your thoughts on Wayne Simmonds? It seems like, I don't know if it's just the culture in New Jersey is having an effect. It does not look like any type of the player that, you know, you saw him play, like how you saw him play in Philadelphia or even in Nashville last year after he was acquired.
I've always been a big Wayne Simmonds guy ever since the LA Kings, and I love how he embraced the community of Philadelphia when he was traded. I love what he brings. I love his size. I love how he gets in front of the net. You know, No one wants to take on Wayne Simmons. But he has struggled with that system. And, you know, even before that system.
And this is a agency, rental, by the way.
Yeah. Is Simmons up this year?
Yeah. He is a rental for this season. He's a pending free agent.
So if Wayne Simmons is a pending free agent, I think, therefore, his value goes down based on the season he's had.
Right.
And he's not controllable. So you could look at a third or fourth round pick maybe to acquire him. Now, that is a guy that might fit on that fourth line.
Right.
You'd have to make a tough decision like, okay, do I sit Janmark or who do I sit? And Janmark's playing better hockey right now. But I like Wayne Simmons' toughness. And or you could put him on the third line and figure that out. And maybe Cogliano drops down. But, you know, you got a lot of guys that are doing some really good things right now. So it's tough for you and I to talk about what person sits. I mean, personally, I feel as though while Janmark's playing better, I think we've seen the best of Matthias Janmark. I think he's a good player.
And then when you bring up the cap hit.
Yeah. I mean, is he at 2.3 right now? So I know he's mid twos.
2.3.
So he's 2.3 million this year. That's tough for a player like Matthias Janmark.
Right.
I mean, you know, you hate to be like, hey, you know, I'm going to wheel and deal here, but I need a couple of guys around the 800,000 to 1.5 million.
Right.
Range.
Yes.
I can't have all my guys at 2 point. Radek Fox is the same way. I think Radek Fox is having a nice bounce back season.
Right.
I just can't have everyone making 2.5 million.
Right.
Give me a couple of guys that are cheaper. So therefore I can acquire free agents to better my team.
All right. We'll go back to defense here. Zach Bogosian with the Buffalo Sabres. He's already requested a trade. He already has an expiring contract. Thoughts on Zach Bogosian in a Dallas Star sweater?
I like him. It doesn't send me over the top. Right. Like, I'm wondering, like, what that, I'm trying to compare.
That's like a seventh defenseman.
Yeah, exactly. What I'm wondering is like, okay, my worst defenseman right now probably, I guess, would be Fadoon. But I'm looking at, like, let's look at Fadoon, Sekera, and Polak.
Mm.
Is Zach Bogosian that much better than any of those three?
No.
Not to give up assets for, so I
mean,
it would be
a very, very low return, which I guess would be the upside to that. But like we just talked about, Steven John's coming back, assuming that things don't just go poorly, you know, right off the bat or something, and he's not able to return. That is a way better trade, quote-unquote trade, than Zach Bogosian.
Yeah, I also have, I think one thing to think about on the defensive core, too, is, you know, I have a Joel Hanley. I have a Dylan Hetherington if I need a bigger defenseman. I have a Gavin Bayreuther, you know. So I have guys with NHL experience that I can call up.
Right.
So, I mean, I personally think I'm good.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to give me someone.
So would you rather trade for a defenseman or a forward?
I would rather, if I'm going to make a trade, I think you got to go forward. I'm looking at a guy like a Wayne Simmons.
Can I give you a name that really sticks out to me? It's a guy that I've always really enjoyed his game. He's not necessarily doing well with his new club, but I think it's a guy that would fit in really nicely on the Dallas Stars. I'm talking about Mikael Granlund with the Nashville Predators.
Yeah.
I've always loved his game, and I think that he is that type. I think that he is a Matthias Janmark, but a lot better.
Yeah, I think he's got a better scoring touch.
And I think that that is a third or fourth line guy that,
yeah,
you know, yet opponents have to, well, hey, they're fourth lines out here, but they still got Granlund out there. You know, make sure you guys keep an eye on him. You know,
on Granlund.
He's got that speed that, you know, can get him, you know, that defenses really have to respect. I would like to see the Dallas Stars, and the Nashville Predators are falling out of playoff contention.
They're, yeah,
totally falling apart just in general.
And they're not afraid to pull the trigger. So,
right.
The question is like, okay, what am I giving up for cap space for Granlund to make this trade work? And if I'm Nashville, do I want to help the Dallas Stars?
Yeah, which that might be the toughest thing.
It's weird to say, but that's a factor.
Definitely. Oh, there's teams all the time in any sport that say, well, yeah, we want to move this guy, but we will not move him within the division.
Yeah.
But it's an expiring contract.
Right.
Which helps out the Dallas Stars case because the Predators then would probably just look at it, well, we're not in the playoffs anyway, so might as well give you know, take some of Dallas's assets. They can go try to win a cup if they want, you know, and then hopefully they don't re-sign and we don't have to watch Granlund, you know, in a Stars uniform for years to come.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. And I guess the question comes, let's look
at the $5.75 million cap hit.
That's too big.
That's too big.
Too big for a fourth line player. I mean, you're not going to be able to. And that's what Stars fans have to realize. Anytime you say to yourself, like, oh, the Stars should get this guy, I'm with you. They should get that guy.
It would be awesome.
The problem is what are you going to dump as far as cap space for another team to take on? You're almost talking maybe a three-way trade in that make a trade to free up cap space and then make that second trade.
That's Foley's is 4.6.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is worth it, I think, for that player, but now you're getting into the cap gymnastics of how does this team financially afford these players?
And a guy, and it probably would be an expiring contract because a guy like Tyler Toffoli, are you going to be able to re-sign him? And probably the odds are against it based on your cap situation. So they are, in fact, just true rentals. And that's fine.
Right.
But it definitely stings if you're giving up. If you're giving up a mid-round draft pick, I can live with that.
Right.
If you think a Tyler Toffoli is going to take you over the top. However, just realize after a couple of months, you know, they're no longer going to be there. The other thing I think that's happening right now in the NHL is that there are a lot of teams still in it. So the Montreal Canadiens have to decide, are we buyers or sellers?
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure in Montreal to do well. The Ottawa Senators have to say, hey, you know what? We're playing better hockey, and every year we seems like we dump our team. We can't The only one we can't dump is Bobby Ryan based on his contract.
Right, right.
But, I mean, we have some good players. Do we want to get back into that where we dump more? Because if you're dumping every year, the fan base is going to give up on you. So that's a question mark, but I think they're going to be sellers. Nashville, you said it. Although they're falling, you know, one quick run and they might be back in it.
Sure.
So how long before Nashville decides if they're buyers and sellers? Now, we still have about 6 weeks left, so there's time. But right. I would say the next 3 to 4 weeks for about six or seven teams will determine the NHL trade market.
Yeah, and that's the tough thing is, you know, hockey fans, when you're trying to determine if a team is going to be a buyer or a seller, it's really easy to look at, oh, well, they're only 6 points behind out of, you know, the second wild card. But if they're 6 points behind the second wild card, but they also have five teams between them in that second wild card spot, you're not only trying to make up that deficit in points, you've got to also remember a lot of these teams in front of them are playing each night as well. And so it's not just the amount of points, it's how many teams you have to climb.
Right.
So you can be 8 points back and there's six teams, you know?
Yeah.
And you're that's basically like a 16 or like maybe a 12-point disadvantage or a deficit, because if that team just goes to overtime, they're gaining 1 point. So you're only gaining 1 point while you guys are going, you know, playing on the same night, not even going head to head.
Yeah, and then you look at teams like Pittsburgh and Boston, who do a really nice job developing their prospects into NHL caliber players. And what that does is that sends a message to the rest of the NHL. Hey, you know that guy that you like in that Boston system? Well, look at their track record.
Yeah.
And this guy's coming up fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not trying to be anti-Stars, but who in the Stars system do you say, whoa, this guy's coming through?
Yeah.
Now, there are a few guys.
It would be, I mean, I guess it would be just proven guys now, like Roope Hintz would be my 1A, hey, look at Roope Hintz, how he flew up the system. You know, I know we did a really poor job developing talent there for a minute, but it really seems like with the emergence of him and now Denis Gurianov, we're starting to, you know, turn that around.
What's the?
And I wouldn't trust any goalie in the star system right now.
yeah, exactly. What's the value of Jason Robertson? What's the value of a guy like Gavin Bayreuther, who coming out of college was a big free agent signing by the Stars?
Yeah,
you know, had a couple of good years, and then all of a sudden finds himself in the NHL, played really well for a short period of time, got injured, and you know, this year just hasn't been there.
Mm-hmm.
So, or Dylan Hetherington, which, you know, the Stars got from Columbus in a trade. But every time he comes up, I think he looks good, but just can't crack that roster. So I think the question becomes, when you look at the Stars system, who is it? You know, is a Ty Dellandrea that valuable? I mean, you know, is it a kid like that who you drafted in the first round a couple of years back, which everyone kind of, you know, the comparisons of Brendan Morrow, where he's a smart player on the ice. So, and, you know, almost made the Stars this year, you know, in camp, played really well. So, I mean, I think there are some guys, but there's, I look at it this way, there's no one in their system that is like, that guy is the target from all teams.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, I guess the guy that I would, if I had to submit somebody in the minors right now that teams would really identify as the guy they would want in that in a trade, I think it would be Ettinger.
Yeah.
I think that would be the guy, but I think that's the guy that the Stars are kind of looking at to maybe, you know, as much as it sucks to say, like, let Anton Khudobin walk because of what we're talking about in terms of cap space and all that, and bringing up a guy like Ettinger and just saying, hey, hopefully, you know, hopefully he can fill in and do what, you know, Dobby did here with the Dallas Stars. That'll save us a lot, to give us a lot of cap relief. And then, hey, now you turn to Ben Bishop and you say, look, we got a couple different things for you here. Not only are you going to have to help us develop Jake Ettinger into a goalie up here at the NHL level, you know, there's a chance he struggles a little bit in his transition to the NHL. We may need you to, you know, you're used to splitting time with Dobby. We may need you to kind of go back to the early Tampa Bay Lightning days where you're starting every single night because Vasilevskiy hadn't really developed yet.
Yeah, and I think Bishop would probably welcome that because
absolutely
he loves playing.
Right.
You know, he you know, he doesn't like sitting.
Right.
I've watched Ettinger, and I watched him at Boston University and liked him. I thought he was on a bad Terrier squad. They had, you know, just the goals against was not there, but I mean, it was just a bad hockey squad at Boston University. So he comes out, you know, which I think was the right decision. And, you know, I see him play for Team USA in the juniors, and he's the backup goaltender.
I watched that as well.
Yeah, which was fascinating because on Team Canada that same year was Colton Point.
Yeah.
Who has not been able to put it together.
Right.
You know, I mean, I thought, you know, when they came out, Colton Point came out of Colgate, Ettinger out of Boston University. Point was the lower draft pick, but a lot of people are saying, hey, this Point kid,
yeah,
you know, so... So Ettinger was the backup for Team USA, but the time I did see him, he played well. So then he comes to the AHL late last year and played really, really well. So he's splitting time this year, and I think the development is certainly there. We need to remember that goaltenders don't necessarily, there are going to be the exceptions to the rule, but having a goaltender come up at 19, 20, 21 is a rarity. You know, usually you're looking at a goaltender around 24, 25, 26 to start to develop. We look at Jack Campbell and what he's done after all those years of struggling in our farm system.
Yeah, and even Jordan Binnington last season.
Yeah.
You know, nobody had even really heard, or I mean, probably maybe some Blues fans, but when Binnington came up, I had never really heard of him or really like followed his career.
He was a well-traveled goalie.
He'd been down there for a minute.
Yeah.
And he comes up and now look at him. You know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And there are those stories. I mean, a long time, you know, goalie for the Bruins, Tim Thomas, you know, was one of those guys that was a well-traveled person. And you look at right in our own backyard, Anton Khudobin right now.
Yes.
You know, when I was covering the Houston Aeros and Khudobin was their starting goalie, the big thing was consistency. You know, Khudobin one game would be like, whoa, this guy, how is he in the AHL? He should be in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
And just wasn't, you know, and then you'd look at another game and you're like, oh, wow. Well, we also have to understand, similar to Gurianov and Nichushkin, you know, Khudobin was learning the language.
Yeah,
I actually talked to a couple of players about, because I wanted to talk about Khudobin and how well he's playing. And I asked one of his teammates, also a broadcaster, so I said, was Khudobin that kind of personality when he played, you know, for Houston?
Yeah.
And they both said, yes, it was a much quieter version.
So he had the personality. Some time to get comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, we got to think about it. You got to learn the language. You got to adapt, you know?
That's awesome.
And he was a young kid, but they knew the personality was there.
Right.
They just said when it came out, it was great. but came, you know, got called up to Minnesota. Didn't do what the expectations called for. So now all of a sudden he's a goaltender that, you know, is kind of looking for work, kind of bounced around. Carolina started to see some good signs. And then he goes to Boston, plays really, really well. So it just seems like he's getting better with age.
Yeah.
So My thing is, if they have the cap space available, I think you're going to have to do a multi-year, because if I'm Hudobin,
I'm like, why would I have to prove myself?
Yeah, exactly. It's 2 years or bust. I got teams after me. If I'm Jim Nill, I'd say 2 years, $3 million a year.
Yeah.
So, and if Hudobin says no, then you got to deal with it.
Yeah.
You just got to, I know Stars fans would hate for him to walk because of his personality, because of his goaltending style. I mean, he is very flashy on the ice.
Yeah.
He is extremely flashy. Now, he makes makes saves look amazing.
Right.
And it's just his style, where he's just one of those guys where it's like Bishop, every goal that Bishop lets in looks like a soft goal.
Right.
So it's just different goaltending styles. And every great save Bishop makes, it kind of looks, you don't see
it. He makes it look easy.
Yeah, he makes it look
almost
easy.
Almost to a fault.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think Ettinger is an interesting, because that to me is going to determine Stars cap space for the future. Can he take that next step, and can they afford to have a guy when you got Sagan, Ben, come in and play that backup goaltender role?
Yeah. And it is amazing, like you were alluding to, just Hudobin makes some saves and I'll look at it, I'll be like, I honestly have no idea how he did that, but I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
It's real scrambling. It's like a real controlled chaos.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a lot of fun to watch.
It is. So. And his post-game interviews are awesome. His reactions on the bench are great. I love going to the games. Every single time out, I'm looking straight down at Anton Hudobin. And that is my focus during timeouts. Is Anton
Hudobin. He hangs over the boards.
He hangs over the board. So Bishop never goes to the bench. Bishop just skates back and forth. So Hudobin during the break has no one to talk to if he's not talking to his teammates. So Hudobin will chat it up with the linesman. He'll chat it up with other players. It is just hilarious to watch. I just appreciate that. It seems as though as he's getting older, he loves the game even more.
Yeah.
And, you need those guys in the room.
It's infectious when you just watch it as a Stars fan.
Yeah.
So imagine being in the room, and just like having that kind of energy and vibe around you all the time.
Yeah.
The
nickname alone, Dobie.
Yeah.
Is just so sweet.
And real quick, too, we got it. Before we hit, we're going to hit a couple of mailbag questions. While we're talking goalies here, I just want to bring up Pecorine scoring a goal.
Yeah.
An empty netter. And I believe I saw it from Sean Shapiro just talking about Ben Bishop and Anton Hudobin after the Stars game that night. Because I believe it was the night that they played the Ducks. It was after the Ducks game. I guess they were talking with him, and Ben Bishop and Anton Hudobin were just talking about how thrilled they were for Pecorine scoring that goal. I want Anton Hudobin to score an empty net goal. I mean, I would actually, any type of goal, if the goalie is in the net, that'd be even better somehow. But I want Anton Hudobin to score a goal so bad, because I think he's the more likely of the two, because he's got more of that wild card factor where he'll just grab and go, all right, whatever, I'm going to take a shot.
Right.
I want to see his celebration. Because Pecorine's celebration was pretty awesome,
yeah.
And then all the guys coming over and hugging him. I think Anton Hudobin's celebration, for as much traction as his disappointment get, where he breaks a stick after the game's over or something. I think the emotion he would show would just be incredible.
Yeah, no, I would definitely love to see it. It's one of the great things to see in hockey, because the anticipation of the puck being thrown up, and then the roll just gets the crowd going.
And
you
saw the Blackhawks players, I'm not sure who was on defense, you could see the moment he knew it was going in, just the whole give up in his body.
Yeah.
Of just like, man, we really just allowed a goal to a goalie,
So IndyCar Tim posted a funny, it was side by side of Joe Thornton and Pecorine. And he said the NHL scoring race.
Yeah.
And that's why, because, I looked at it and I was like, oh boy, that's true this year. But then I thought to myself, I know Joe Thornton's going in the NHL Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
Pecorine is a very interesting. Now, he just passed Rogie Vachon as far as wins by a goaltender. I got to tell you, I think he gets in.
I think so too.
I think he's just one of those guys that, you look at the career, you look at, the amount of times he's taken his teams in the playoffs. He's never been able to take them over the top.
He was taken in the eighth round.
Yeah.
258th overall in the 2004 NHL draft. That is insane.
He's still playing at a high level.
Still.
I mean, I just think, you know, it's very like Adrian Beltre-like, where the years are going to pile up, therefore the wins and the stats are going to pile up as well.
Right.
Been a great ambassador to the game. So, yeah, I just thought it was funny that the side-by-side comparison, but, you know, kudos. I know his teammates love him.
Feel bad for Joe Thornton for that one, too.
Yeah, he was one of the... He was one of those guys on the Winter Classic, you know, All Access or behind the Winter Classic.
Yeah.
He was one of those guys that was cool that they focused on walking down the street, you know, with the game on his mind, but seeing Nashville fans and stopping and high-fiving them and everything. I mean, he's beloved in Nashville. Now, Nashville people are like, please take us over the top.
Right.
And if I mean, if I'm a Nashville fan, I mean, I'm looking at like Carter Hutton was behind Pecorine. And now he's doing great things in Buffalo. He's killing it in Buffalo. And now I look at a guy named UC Soros who's sitting behind him. Every single time I see Soros, I'm like, that's a good goaltender.
He is.
So the question is like, are they going to move on from Rene eventually? But
and you just have to look at the stars with Ben Bishop's former team with Andrei Vasilevsky behind him. And you know, Ben Bishop gets hurt in the postseason. He takes over. He shows what kind of goalie he is. Then they start to do kind of a timeshare. And the goalie, you know, in net in Tampa. And next thing you know, they're on to Andrei Vasilevsky, who's now considered one of the top
comparison.
One of the top NHL goaltenders.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to take those chances for your future. So, great goal. It was fun to watch. I wish more goaltenders would do it, but now, you know, nowadays it does bring
would
up.
Would the coaches chew them out for that, though? Like, come on, man. Like,
you know, that was, I believe, a two-goal game.
I think so, too.
I think if it's a one-goal game, yes.
Right.
Yes, you are scorned. But at the same time, I think two goals, it's Pecorine, you know, it livens up the team, you know, they all love him. So I think in that case, he was okay. But one of the interesting things that's starting to be talked about in NHL circles is icing, because it's happening more and more. So on Hockey Night in Canada... You know, they were talking about, should the NHL put a rule in place where if there are 10 NHL icings in a game, a 2-minute minor penalty follows?
Oh, it's kind of like, you know, when they introduced the delay of game for throwing the puck out of them.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's gaining any momentum, but I will tell you, sitting at Stars games, it becomes a beating after a while.
And the Stars over the last few seasons have been one of the teams that's iced the puck the most.
Yeah, especially when you're looking toward the end of the game, because what's happening, and they did such a great breakdown on Hockey Night in Canada talking about this, is analytics are telling these teams that icing the puck is safer and taking that draw on your own end than doing something where it's you're trying to flip the puck up or, you know, so icing analytics wise has become safer toward the end of the game. So teams know that there's no repercussions otherwise other than you're tired on the ice. So therefore, if analytics is telling us that, we're just going to ice the puck toward the end of the game.
Yeah. I wonder how that would affect, because I remember maybe it was last season or the season before, they were talking about the idea of on a power play, the penalty kill, losing the advantage, which is being able to just ice the puck with no repercussion.
Yeah.
I wonder how that would factor in if they were to get, or if they were to penalize you, you know, if they ice the puck too much.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it all depends. If you're icing the puck 10 times in a game, I mean...
Does it reset then, like maybe after the first 10, like after five or like two more, it's another two minutes?
It's fascinating because I think the game is still fast, but I have noticed sitting through Stars games that it does take longer.
Yes, yes.
And that tends to grind on you. I mean, I remember being able to go to a 7:30 game, and it's no longer 7:30 when they drop the puck. We're looking at like 7:35, 7:40.
Yeah.
So you're now getting out of there at, used to be able to get out of there if they dropped the puck right at 7:30, but somewhere between 9:35, 9:40, somewhere around there. Now it's solid 10 to 10:10. I'm leaving that arena.
Yeah. And I typically, if it's a 7:30, I'm thinking more like 10:20.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly.
So, I mean, I feel as though the games are getting longer and it is affecting me.
And if analytics are saying that, then the NHL will do something to push back, you know, so that they don't just tend to continue to elongate the games by just icing the puck whenever things get dicey. Yeah.
But I do like how they're trying to tweak the game. I like how they're playing around. So it's, you know, it's kind of fascinating. Before I forget, other news that came out. So due to the success of NHL Overtime, where they play 3-on-3, there's going to be a new North American 3-on-3 league.
Oh, awesome. Is Ice Cube buying this?
Well, it started by EJ Johnston, who's the son of the former goalie and general manager, Ed Johnston. So he's teamed up with Craig Patrick, who's in the NHL Hall of Fame, and they're calling it 3-Ice. And it's similar to what they have in basketball.
Yeah.
And it's totally independent, and it's 3-on-3. You have 7 players per team. It's 3-on-3 with a goalie, and they're going to do similar. They're just going to be independent teams that tour.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's going to be, to me...
They won't have like a home team? Like, will they have a home?
No.
Like the Dallas...
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Because you'd have to, right? Or...
Well, how do they do it in basketball with the big three?
Well, yeah, I guess it's not.
Yeah.
It's based off, they do it, they name it around like a player, I guess, is what I remember. I haven't watched the big three in a while, but wow. Yeah. So
they already have a TV deal with CBS Sports, TSN, which is the ESPN up north in Canada, and RDS. So it's going to air exclusively on CBS Sports Network. Championship game is going to air nationally on CBS.
These are some of the big three teams. Three's Company, Three-Headed Monsters, Killer Threes. So it's just totally, they just tour and they'll have stops. So like we could go to, I'm sure they would have one at the American Airlines Center. It's like, hey, come check out.
Absolutely. You know. So here's how it's going to work. So you get 7 games if you go. In a single elimination format, and a champion will be crowned.
That's awesome.
At each of the 9 stops across North America. No penalties, only penalty shots.
This is like NHL hits, but not quite as violent.
So they're similar to the XFL. They're saying no long intermissions, no stoppage play for video, and they say just pure excitement.
Wow.
So they're using a full-size rink.
That's going to be my next question.
So every game is going to be 2 8-minute halves using a running clock.
This is like NHL hits.
So, I mean, I just wonder the players, like, can they?
Well, so that's what I was just thinking.
They're going to be exhausted.
And I was thinking like how to draw up some intrigue, which would be to maybe get former players that would agree to do this. But I don't know if a former player is going to want to play that, you know, 2 8-minute halves. With no stoppages, basically.
Yeah, it's going to be maybe some career minor leaguers, some guys that have played over in Europe.
I wonder.
And you might get a former, you know, NHLer or two. And, you know, and then you got to find the goaltenders, too. So it's kind of, you know, I mean, 3-on-3 is so fast.
Right.
But we have to remember in the NHL, the NHL 3-on-3 is after 3 20-minute periods.
Yeah,
so they're
true.
Pretty gassed at that point.
True.
So, I mean, we see it in the NHL All-Star game. We'll see it in a couple of weeks in St. Louis where they play the 3-on-3 format.
Yeah. I'm on board with that. I would go check it out.
It's an interesting league, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm already intrigued. Like, the possibility just, like, flying through my mind right now in terms of, you know, like, we were just talking about what kind of players you'd get to form these teams, the goaltenders. I feel like goaltender would probably be the easiest thing to play, quote, you know, in quotes, easiest.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the arena. And you watch hockey for 16 minutes. They clean the ice maybe a couple of minutes later, and then you're watching another game. You know, and it's kind of like single elimination, round robin style. It's just, it's kind of fascinating, you know? So we'll see when that takes place. They're going to begin play in 2021.
Oh, wow. So we're getting pretty.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the end
of this year. Just announced. And, wow. You know, we're talking about it on the Sweaters Forever podcast. Proudly presented by Choctaw.
We sure are. Now we'll hit a couple of the mailbag questions here.
All right, let's hit them.
I've got one here from Krusty Nuggets at Krusty Nuggets 4. And They want to know what our postseason predictions are for the Stars. I mean, we're talking trade deadline. We've gotten this a couple times, so we'll periodically hit them because it changes, you know, based on how the season goes. But I mean, as I sit here right now, the only team I really feel like the Stars currently, if they play as they're playing right now in the postseason, would lose to in a postseason match is the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, which you might draw in the first round.
Right.
So that's where you have to be careful. You match up really well against the Calgary Flames. So if they win the Pacific, that's not a bad matchup if you're a wild card team. Now,
yeah, Calgary doesn't really scare me.
No. Arizona is interesting because they play the Stars tough. I don't want to play Vancouver. Vancouver's playing great hockey right now, and they're back in the mix. And I really don't want to play Vegas because they're a heavy team, and they're going to grind you. So,
and you got Fleury.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to play any of those types of goaltenders.
Ideally, to answer the question, I think if they're in the second seed in the Central, that's the premier position to be.
Yeah.
Because then you're facing off likely against Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe Winnipeg slips in, but I think you'd have your best chance against either one of those teams to move on. It's going to be tough. But to me, expectations, what I would like to see, you got to go one round further than you did against St. Louis last year. You took the Blues, the cup champion, to seven games. You know, you got to get past the second round. So anything but that, I think, is a semi-disappointment.
I agree. I think that my ideal thing is that they match up in the conference, you know, conference finals somehow.
That would be amazing. And they probably, you know, there's that chance if they can remain top three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the one question I had. We had Fuzzy Wuzzy Boom Boom tweeted you and said, hey, did you get mine from the other day?
Yeah. And I didn't.
Oh, no.
I know. I'm sorry, Fuzzy.
He's going to be so mad.
Just send us and we'll answer it in person.
He got mad at me on Twitter because he thought I got him sick through Twitter.
Oh.
Yeah. No, which I don't think I did.
No. Oh, that Twitter flu.
Yeah.
Jared Smith asked, bring back taco goals. Man, I'm with you. Raining tacos was a pretty cool thing.
Yes.
I would love for someone else to step up. And, you know, that was always a party at the AAC when a taco goal happened.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was like a really cool tradition. It would be a real cool
seat. I think more things like that for fans to get fired up about free stuff that they'll get the coupon for that they likely will forget to ever cash in.
Man, when I walk out and those fisherman friends are being given away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me a couple of those packets to go. that's how I roll. Jacob Wallace. Jacob, thanks, man. I met Jacob and his nephew a couple of weeks ago. I bought him a Frosty at the Stars game.
Nice.
He came on down.
Jacob Wallace?
Yeah. Really good guy.
I met him up here a couple times.
Yeah. Can the Stars host a series this year in the playoffs, or will they be a wild card? And we just answered that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know.
I'm assuming they're going to host a series.
Well, it would be great.
I expect them to have a home ice advantage. I mean, obviously injuries and things of that sort can change, you know, the course that your team takes, but as currently constructed and as healthy as they are, I feel really confident that they're going to host one.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be good. I'm worried about Colorado, and tomorrow night will go a long way. But I mean, you know, I'm worried in the sense that I don't want to lose that home ice advantage to the Avs, because I think right now that's kind of who you're looking at playing. I'm really worried if you start to falter because, as I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, the Pacific is coming on in a big way.
And it's so crazy how, you know, the Pacific was mostly out of the playoff picture. If we're recording this 2 months ago.
Right.
And you brought up at that point, hey, watch out for Arizona. Watch out for Arizona. They're at the bottom of the standings right now. They're not doing well, but this is a dangerous team.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And now you look at them.
You fall out of the top three, which you could do within a week's time with a bad week, and all of a sudden, you know, you're staring at wild card and just on the fringe of making the playoffs. So, I mean, the NHL right now is in both conferences is extremely tight. I think parity has entered the NHL, and that's a real good thing.
All right, do you have any more questions?
No, man. We're ready to hit some power rankings before we go?
Yes, we sure are. We do this every single week here on the Sweaters Forever podcast, presented by Choctaw Casino and Resort. And this week, we're going to go with it's Monday. We're recording this on Monday. Yeah. What I learned today is a lot of people wait to do their power rankings till later in the week.
Mm-hmm.
But my guy, Mike Harrington in Buffalo.
All right, Mike.
He's got a top five for us.
Quality.
All right, so here's the top five from Mike Harrington from BN Hockey, BuffaloNews.com. Thank you, Mike, for saving this part of the podcast. At number one, he has the Washington Capitals.
Oh, Mike and I already disagree.
Are you going to go with the Blues?
I am going to go with the Blues.
That seems like as soon as I saw that, I thought it had to be. And maybe this is because Mike did this like a day ago. So maybe, or 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Maybe that has something to do with it, but I'm shocked that he didn't have the Blues at one. What's next, Mike?
Caps had a tough week.
I know.
You know, they did. They had a tough week. So the Blues are 7-2-1 in their last 10. Kind of a sidebar, funny note. We mentioned Jordan Binnington earlier. So news came out last week. So Jordan Binnington says, hey, Justin Bieber, I'll give you 10 breakaways. And if you score once on me in 10 breakaway opportunities, I'll dye my hair blonde. Canadian Justin Bieber responds, how about this instead? I'll take you up on your challenge, but it's $10,000 to one of our favorite charities.
Nice.
If I score once, Jordan Binnington quickly replies, absolutely.
Nice.
So Justin Bieber, I believe in July, is hitting St. Louis for a concert. Question is that when it's going to take place? I think it's awesome that $10,000 is going to go to a charity.
That's really
cool. But I ask you this, Shippy.
Uh-huh.
10 breakaways. Can he score one?
So I know that he's played a lot of hockey. Because
yeah.
I know he took the ice with the Toronto Maple Leafs maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago, something like that. But I don't think, there's no way in my mind. I haven't seen him play, though, so I don't know if he's super skilled. Have you seen him on the ice?
I have, yeah.
Is he good?
Not bad.
But I still think not bad against Jordan Binnington,
I know.
Who just won the Stanley Cup.
I know. So I'm all in on this. I want to see
it. I am, too. I hope they televise this or something.
To me, this is like the old Spike TV pros versus Joes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's great for the NHL. That this is happening. I actually am going to take Team Bieber.
Really?
I think he might slip one by. I know it's like, but that's 10 breakaways.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be.
That is, yeah.
You want to put $10,000 on it each?
Oh, man.
No? Yeah, I'm good too.
I don't have that kind of expendable cash.
No, neither do I. Maybe if this podcast grows.
Yeah, right?
Come on, Choctaw, help us out, baby.
Yeah, please. Yeah, and if it was maybe something that I had more of a knowledge base on, I still wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I might be able to knock that number down, but not knowing really of not seeing Justin Bieber play,
yeah,
that's a real tough thing to put like $100 on for me.
It's a great storyline, but everyone that thought that Binnington was a fluke is wrong.
Yeah. Yep.
And once again, they're still doing it without Vladimir Tarasenko.
It's not even fair.
It really, I mean, he is their trade deadline acquisition when he comes back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, kudos to their staff. And I really want to get to, like, if I'm an NHL team,
mm-hmm.
I'm calling Doug Armstrong after this season if I'm looking for a coach and seeing the interest of Steve Ott in wanting to become a head coach. I don't know.
Interesting.
But I mean, Steve Ott obviously has the fire.
Dallas Stars?
Yeah. And I also take into the equation that they made a coaching change and Steve Ott stayed on. To me, that says something about Steve Ott as a coach.
Yeah.
Where a new coach comes in, Craig Berube, and, you know, even if it was after this season, granted they won the cup, but I'm interested because I would love to see if Steve Ott, yeah, that would be an interesting one coming back to Dallas. You think that would be popular?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be insane. All right. Number two here from my guy, Mike Harrington. He's got the St. Louis Blues at number two behind the Capitals.
All right.
So he did save himself a little bit, but I'm still like, what? How do you not have them number one?
So here's breaking news, and I'm probably wrong. I don't, because I base mine on like who has hot weeks and what are they doing.
Right.
I probably should have had the Caps in, you know, so I'm going to go with a tie for a second if I can do that.
Yeah, sure.
And I will put the Caps up there because although they had a tough week, you know, they've just been a solid team. But I also have the Boston Bruins up there. And you look at David Pastrnak, and it's weird to say this because we don't say this often, Pasternak's having a Gretzky-like season. And the stats show it's 35 goals in 46 games. He also has 30 assists.
Oh,
35 goals in 46 games.
That's insane.
The great player.
Wow.
So I got the Bruins. I mean, they're playing good hockey right now. Look for them to be buyers at the trade deadline.
Yeah, so that's... Mike's got the Boston Bruins at number three.
Okay.
So maybe he had him as a tie too, but his boss was like, no, Mike, we've been telling you this. You got to put one at two and another at three.
Yeah.
From the Sweaters Forever podcast, Gavin Spittle with your Hockey Hawk top five. You can do whatever you want.
Man, and therefore, I am giving credit to a team that has snuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Albeit without Sidney Crosby, who's coming back from a sports injury. Boy, the Pittsburgh Penguins have come out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, they've passed the Islanders, and they're catching up on the Capitals in the Metropolitan Division.
Yeah, yeah.
They are playing great hockey, and once again, I can't say it loud enough, without Sidney Crosby.
Right.
Jim Rutherford, a couple of guys. Like, we talk about great general managers, and Jim Rutherford just entered the Hockey Hall of Fame, and for good reasons. One of the all-time great GMs. He always finds a way to pull off great trade deadline deals, but he has the assets to do it. And you look at Jake Guentzel, for example. That's a third-round draft pick in 2013, and he has 43 points.
And he was a guy that when he really made a name for himself, I believe it was the year maybe 2014 or 2015 when Matt Murray took over and net for Fleury. That's when Guentzel really kind of took off, and a lot of people were kind of, well, he's on a line with Crosby. Like,
yeah.
How hard must it be? Well, now he's showing what he can do without Sidney Crosby. And I was part of that where I thought, man, it must be nice to just work with Crosby and, you know, be able to kind of rotate in, and now all of a sudden you're just crushing it on your way to win a Stanley Cup. But he's showing now that he's a really, really great hockey player on his own.
Yeah, Brian Rust, 2010, third round pick.
Yes.
He's got 38 points.
Yeah.
So it's
that was
like
another guy.
Pittsburgh I feel like Pittsburgh makes trades every year. But they can, because let's say they trade one of their goaltending prospects. Well, they got two other guys coming up.
Yeah.
Jim Rutherford and his team just draft well every single year. So for that reason, they're playing good hockey. Sidney Crosby's on his way back. I think the Pens are back to being contender status.
Well, that's number four is where Mike has the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Okay. All right. So I had another team that quietly has come back into... Shippy, what was the team that last year dominated and everyone this year thought, well, they're going to be in the cup for sure this year?
Talking about the Lightning?
I am talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they are playing really, really good hockey.
They're here in Dallas on Monday in like
are
a
they?
Week?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I just love the acquisition of Patrick Maroon in the offseason.
Yes,
I think he brings a lot to the room.
Oh, 2 weeks from today.
If Steven Stamkos was playing in New York or Philadelphia, he would be up there with the Crosbys and Ovechkins. I mean, he's one of the all-time greats that doesn't get the credit, and also doesn't take the credit for taking a contract was less than he could make. He could have went back home to Canada, but he took less because he said, I think there's a winner here. I like Vasilevsky as well. I like Victor Hedman. I just love their team, and now that they're playing good hockey, watch out. Tampa Bay Lightning, they're catching up on the Bruins, and the Bruins are playing unbelievable hockey.
Well, at number five, the Mike... Harrington, was it? Yeah, Mike Harrington. He's got the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay, all right. So I had Vegas in my power rankings last week, and one team passed Vegas this past week, and that's the Calgary Flames. And you don't think of the Calgary Flames as being a top five, but at the same time, they're on a hot streak, and you look at the team since Jeff Ward took it over. The controversy surrounding Bill Peters and the way that he had to be let go and, you know, surrounding the team. And it just seemed like the team rallied at that point, and they're playing great hockey since. So Calgary Flames, you know, just one of those teams that's playing good hockey right now.
And maybe, you know, after we see what's going on with the Stars now, with the Blues last season, with the Flames you just referred to, maybe the trick is in the NHL, just fire your head coach at some time.
Yeah.
And then your team is just going to rally around it. And they're going to take off.
I mean, it's not crazy. It's not crazy. I mean, the NHL executives pull triggers probably faster than any other sport.
Yeah.
And that's to kickstart the team because you really are limited in what you can do.
Right.
And, you know, there's the pull the goaltender and put the backup goaltender in.
Yeah, and that's kind of...
Right. But the guys you have on the ice that night are playing regardless if they're playing bad, if they're stinking up the joint, you got to play the rest of the game.
Right.
So it's not like other sports. So they're limited in what you can do. And sometimes to shake up things, you got to change the coach. And in recent years, it's paid dividends.
All right, so that's your top five, right?
Yeah.
You just knocked him out. We do this every time. It's the first time we had just one guy's opinion. Where do you think Mike Harrington has the Dallas Stars on his list?
I think Mike Harrington probably has them at 8 or 9, and I have the Stars at 6.
You and Mike Harrington agree.
He has them at 6?
He has them at number 6.
Nice.
Catch this. At a 757 winning percentage, they have the best points percentage in the NHL since their 1-7-1 start.
Wow.
As much props as we've been giving to, you know, the Boston Bruins, as we've been giving, and I guess it's since that start, so it's 9 games in. But as much props as we give to the, you know, the Blues and all these other teams, the Dallas Stars are at the cream of the crop since they just totally just came out of the gate, just, you know, stinking up the entire NHL.
Yeah, they have the talent to do it. It's just the consistency. If they can put together a consistency, which they're proving they can do, these comeback games are wonderful. But you can't do it every night. You know, you got to stop that. I love the fact that they're not giving up. If they can get their consistency together, and I'm really fascinated to see some of these veterans like Perry Pavelski. What do they do when it comes to the playoffs?
And maybe those are guys that'll get better as the season progresses. You know, maybe think as things, like we talked about, maybe as they get more comfortable with the team, as they left the only franchise they've ever known, both of them on two rival teams too, to come join the Dallas Stars, who both have their stories, you know, changed since the shakeup and the divisions and all that sort of stuff.
Well,
and
one thing we know right now, goaltending wins championship. They say it year after year, and Bennington was a perfect example last year.
Yeah.
And I like my guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's great to say guys.
Yeah.
Either one of them. Obviously, you pay Bishop to be the starting guy come postseason time.
Right.
But if something, you know, God forbid, happened to Ben Bishop where he was not able to go a game or so and you had to bring Anton Khudobin in, I feel just as confident with him between the pipes as I do with Ben Bishop.
I do as well, and that's great if Bishop goes down with an injury. One thing real quick to point out is that Bishop is the extra. You know, we didn't even get into what he did on this road trip where they're on a power play. Bishop sees the line change behind the net.
Yes, and that stretch pass.
Stretch pass, which results in a goal.
Gosh.
Caught Anaheim on a line change. It was a thing of beauty. And that's what Ben Bishop brings to the table. I know sometimes he flubs up behind the net, but there hasn't been a goalie in Dallas since Marty Turco that can handle the puck like that.
And Jordan Binnington kind of adopted that from Ben Bishop, I felt like, almost mid-postseason series last year.
Yeah.
Where he's now all of a sudden behind the net and starting to dish the puck out and things.
Well, he's
like
also, you know, I mean, Khudobin's that backup quarterback right now that everyone's like, put him in. Because every time he's, you know, he's doing well and he deserves more playing time. And Rick Bowness pointed that out, which is good to rest Ben Bishop. But in my eyes, Ben Bishop's the guy. He's done nothing to lose that position. His goals against is among his career best right now. His save percentage is up there. You know, hey, let's just enjoy both of them. Let's enjoy both of them right now.
Well, so we got the Avalanche that the Stars play tomorrow. Then Thursday, the Sabres come to town. And then the Dallas Stars go to Minnesota Saturday, January 18th. And then you got a little bit of a break there. And then they'll come back and face the Tampa Bay Lightning on January the 27th.
Yeah, some winnable games in there. And also some teams that have presented some issues in the past. So, you know, got to beat Minnesota and Buffalo, or at least pull some other games out. Colorado's going to be real
tough gonna be
tomorrow
tough.
Night.
That's
going to be tough, and they know that you beat them, and they know that you've beaten them twice this year.
Yep.
And honestly, the last time they played, I thought Colorado at the AAC was the better team.
I did too.
Stars scored a late one and then won in overtime, and good teams find ways to get points.
And the good news is, though, for me, is that the Dallas Stars have the edge in net.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
That's the way you can steal. They say goalies win championships. Goalies also steal you games.
Yeah. I just hate when, you know, the key to tomorrow night's game is stay out of the box.
Yeah.
I mean, that first line's really, really good. But when you pair that first line on the power play, you know, Rantanen, Landeskog, McKinnon, and then, you know, if Cale Makar plays, then you put him on the point. It's like, oh, man, it's that good.
Real. It's like a two-man advantage, even though you have a one. Yeah. You know, they have a one-man advantage.
Yeah.
It really is the way they move the puck.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you can't. You can't underestimate people like Kadri joining their team and stuff. So
yeah.
they're a really well-built. Joe Sakic deserves a lot of credit as the GM for building that franchise in just a few short years. So it's going to be fun. It'll be a fun tilt tomorrow night. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see Buffalo, a team we don't see often.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you get a chance, I mean, I don't think it's going to be, you know, a Thursday night. People on Buffalo on the schedule, they don't think I got to be at the AAC.
Go.
But go. I promise you, you are seeing one of the best in the NHL in Jack Eichel. He is special.
Yeah, well, you know what else is special is Choctaw Casino and Resort.
Oh,
because
man.
They sponsor this podcast, Sweaters Forever podcast. Remember, welcome to Choctaw Casino and Resort. It's the ultimate destination for exciting gaming and live entertainment. Here, winning is never far away, and right now in the Dallas Stars season, the NHL season, I don't feel like winning isn't far away either. Really looking forward to getting to the playoffs and seeing what this club can do. Really looking forward to see how they approach the trade deadline as well. Lots to talk about, a lot to think about in the world of the Dallas Stars.
I've never had my section called during a Choctaw where they roll on the roulette up on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
I've never had my section called so I could get that $25 free slot play.
Maybe one day.
I am saving back of my ticket stubs just because I love going up to Choctaw. I love the restaurants. I love the vibe. Nice, clean venue. I love how they're expanding and stuff. So, and it's awesome that they're supporting not just us, but they're supporting the great sport of hockey here in Dallas.
So stick tap to you, Choctaw. Stick tap to all the listeners out there that are downloading, subscribing, and telling their friends about the Sweaters Forever podcast, and also rating us 5 stars. Because we really do give up to the minute before recording to this. We're working up to the minute. Gavin is in his office every day before we go to record this, and he's putting the finishing touches up on his power rankings. And we make sure to, just like he did earlier, brought you the breaking news with the 3-on-3.
Yeah.
The 3-on-3 league. Everything is up to date here on the Sweaters Forever podcast. And we try to bring you guys the best content possible because we both love this sport so dearly. So thank you guys for tuning in, for listening, for subscribing, rating, telling your friends about it. Until next time when we record the Sweaters Forever podcast, on behalf of the Hockey Hawk and myself, Shippy, we love you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.